I'm like the Ringo of the group. I'm the best one.
I don't know. I think that word means what you think it means.
Of course it does. The Beatles weren't shit till Ringo joined the group. They weren't famous. They were playing little shitty bars in England. Then Ringo joined, and they got popular.
So you're also Mr. Conductor?
Of course.
I don't think
that correlation. Transitive property, that also makes me George Carlin.
So you're dead. And Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin died?
No.
Not yet. No,
Alec Baldwin
played
stronger?
But if he's Ringo, he's also Mr. Conductor, making him also George Carlin and Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin was a Mr. Conductor?
In a movie, yes. Or something.
Yeah.
It was a Baldwin.
I'm pretty sure it was Alec.
It was in the Michael Bay cover of Thomas the Tank Engine.
God. Can you imagine what that would like?
Michael Bay's Shining Time Station.
And then they ran into each other and exploded.
At sunset. And then it makes a bunch of money.
He would talk about how you have to get the metal shine just right off of the side of the train car.
Can you just imagine Skids and Mudflap reimagined as Thomas the Tank Engine characters?
No, but now I want to.
There's a Photoshop project.
They'd be coal-powered engines, so they'd be in blackface.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. Woo! We just went there.
Meteo, ready?
And now it's time for another superhero time. With your hosts, XV.
XV head B.
Hey, Mickey.
Just shove it in and keep pumping.
Paladin.
I looked at the trap, Ray.
Ken.
Look at Keith.
JD Church.
It's time for poop.
And Fort Max.
Switch. Ha ha.
It's morphin' time.
The show doesn't start until I say, it's superhero time. I'm XV. Mickey's back with us this week.
Oh, wait, are we starting now for reals? Or
yes.
Are you just saying starting?
Oh.
Yes, we're starting now.
Not the other time when we started.
Well, I didn't say it's superhero time.
You just said it again, though.
We double started?
Because we already started.
I hate the show. I quit.
Well, still with us this week, we have Fort Max.
Hello.
Paladin.
Hello.
And JD's back to talk about poop.
Hooray!
Oh, Mickey, you didn't quit.
I came back.
Changed
his mind.
You guys are like heroin.
It's that walk of shame.
Mm.
So, Mickey, what have you been doing with yourself the last few weeks?
Putting taproots for my ass into the couch and playing Dynasty Warriors.
All right.
I'm going to assume that's a literal description on both accounts.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
It's more fun that way.
Of course. So there's next to no news this week.
Yes. Unfortunately, yes. It is the slow season yet again.
That's okay.
When can we expect some delicious news about what's going to get rid of Forza?
July?
Probably June, to be honest.
But July makes it seem more hopeless in the meantime.
Well, yeah, July is when we get the accurate information about what replaces Forza.
Yeah, May is when we get the interesting information.
It's just going to be 5Z.
5Z?
Don't mind.
4Z plus 1.
Count as a series.
I hope it's not 5 of something.
It's going to be a remake of Fives. Or a sequel to it.
I was going to say, a remake could probably only actually improve it.
Unless Inoue writes it again.
Well, they could set it in the decade world of Fives.
You know, even still, if Inoue writes it... If
Inoue writing and then the Ghost Ager team producing.
If Inoue got to write Fives over again... The whole thing would just be so much more consolidated that it would be like a black hole and you could not watch it no matter how terrible it was.
They should get Inoue to write and then Tim Burton to direct.
Oh. Oh.
Exploded.
And so it would have Johnny Depp as the writer then?
Absolutely.
Wow. I can almost picture that.
Okay, so so seriously, tell me this: is Tim Burton and Johnny Depp like gay for each other, or what's going on there?
Well, they're bi because Helena Bonham Carter is attached to him now too.
Attached to which one?
They're like a
both. Does it matter?
So it's like a bi three way thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
They have an understanding.
Progressive relationship.
But the point is modern. Fucking.
Oh yeah. Who isn't?
Okay, just checking.
Well, no, I don't think they do. I think they had to sit on tombstones and cry at the rain.
See, that's the kind of quality we were missing while Mickey was on vacation. Instead, we had poop.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Jeez.
And we'll probably have lots more of that, too.
Now you've added poop, though. See, that's...
you introduced the poop before we started the show.
We're using the poop as a foundation.
Right.
And we're going to put some highlights on top of it to smooth it and balance it out.
Like blonde highlights?
I like some blush, some lipstick.
You know, that would be terrifying, except for the knowledge that that's what you do to corpses pretty much all day, so...
I don't rub poop on them.
No, but that would be awesome. Imagine the look on the faces of the family. Roll out somebody, open up the casket. Oh, my God!
Oh. It's Tennessee. They won't notice.
They might not. For some of the hill country, they may not notice the difference. It just looks like he didn't lie. I wish that damn bear wouldn't have got him.
We get hill folk from time to time, and they are scary.
Oh, God.
Honest to God, inbred people.
Mauled by bears or anything?
Well, women with beards.
Ooh. Not just in
I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating.
I've seen those before.
My family...
With your mother, right?
My family...
Well, actually, that does happen when you get older. What?
No, I said I had family that lived very close to West Virginia. So.
That explains everything.
Yeah. I said close, not in.
So what other news is going on this week?
Nothing as interesting as this.
Sadly, the inflatable bug man is now deflated.
That's terrible, Fort Bax.
Wow. Too soon? Okay.
And everyone that might have cared grew up a long time ago.
Yeah, it's like some guy from a series you probably never watched because it was too damn old died. Great. Cool. All right.
Unfortunately, it also means the entire main cast of Stronger is now dead.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow, I care no more than I did.
Yeah, how many is Stronger? No one cares.
Now who will voice Stronger in all those team-up movies? Probably the same random voice actor dude who did before.
Dex?
Yeah, who played him in Saban's Masked Rider?
I think he was Masked Rider X there.
Well, we can look this up real quick. The information's out there.
No, we can't. It doesn't matter.
It's really important.
I'm curious now, though.
Motherfucker.
I mean, it was probably just Richard Epcar or somebody. You know, one of the standard fill-in voice actors.
Jimmy, who gives a fuck?
Voice actor.
Danny don't care?
Well,
now
yeah,
unemployed
that's
voice actor?
That's like the one they don't have voice actor information for.
Well, then you'll have to Google longer for it, then.
I don't care that much.
Oh, we have reached the limit.
Yeah. If I can't get on the first try, it exceeds the limit of apathy.
Yeah, it's like a force you have to overcome. I can't overcome my apathy limit.
If you cross the apathy threshold, you turn into a salamander.
You have to reach escape apathy.
Escape.
Then you just kind of circle around a little bit above apathy for a while.
Now we know where couch potatoes come from. I would change the channel, but I can't reach the remote, and I can't reach escape apathy. So. I guess I will watch SUV again.
SUV?
SVU again. I love Law and Order.
I'll just watch this Ford Explorer some more.
At least I can
or just keep watching this episode of Transformers Animated.
At least I can reach my phone and I can get a Get Glue app thing, yes. Mm.
And pizza.
Pizza.
Just like you were playing EverQuest.
Marisha Hart tastes so amazing. I would masturbate, but I can't reach my penis. Mm.
Intro quote.
Yes!
All right.
So it's my goal to come across a random intro quote in a show, not to...
Oh, yeah.
See, you all are ashamed of that. I count that as a badge of honor.
I'm not ashamed of it.
You're not ashamed of anything.
We're still here,
except that
aren't
one
we?
Joke you keep editing out.
And you're on this show. I mean, you can't have much shame.
Exactly. Joke. Especially not 110 episodes later.
I'm about to get to 100 episodes for Fanboy Versus. Good lord.
Talk about shame.
I know.
Okay, so Paladin insists on talking about the new toy releases. Yeah.
Didn't we talk about this last week?
Well, Zolda and Super Shinken Red are finally actually out. Is that right?
And not many people give a shit.
Clearly.
Oh, but on the subject of new releases, we were right. Scorpion Zodiard is not a Tamanashi Web exclusive.
I thought we knew that weeks ago.
I thought we were debating it weeks ago.
It should have been a Tamanashi Web exclusive.
Because you don't want one?
Scorpio, who gives a shit about that bitch?
See, they released the first one at normal retail.
Oh, okay, I see where this is going. Then they get more and more exclusive with each successive release.
Mm.
Well, that's going to suck by the time they get around to Leo.
He'll be a lucky draw.
They haven't done that in a while.
Well, f*** Leo. Leo's just going to die anyway.
That's Leo Mon. If he hasn't
already off screen.
Limit Break, f*** you!
We're having way too much fun.
I just would be surprised that if none of the Zodiarts just die and just all end up being sent to Home for Infinite Losers like the other two.
Well, they'll be good company for the Ginyu Force then.
And those two German guys.
Mm-hmm.
I've missed quite a few episodes of Forza. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, go watch Dragon Ball Z Abridged instead.
Much better use.
So you weren't talking about Forza then. Okay.
Well, we were partly talking about Forza, but not very much. That's okay. Okay, so is there anything else we can debatably call the news?
I don't think so this time.
Yay. Well, since we're having way too good of a time, I think it's time for something completely uninteresting. No, not Forza, Mickey.
And now for something completely uninteresting.
Is Samurai still on?
Yes, it is.
Super Samurai now.
That's a thing that happens?
They'll shit the bed.
Let's see. This week was duplicating itself monster.
Was that its name? The duplicating itself
no.
monster?
No. It
the
should
be. Hat monster?
It's. I couldn't remember its name. It's the best descriptor I could think of.
Well, like anything else in Samurai, its real name isn't really important anyway.
This episode had Bulk and Spike actually interacting with and talking with the rest of the cast.
I bet they weren't really. They were just using creative use of body doubles.
They were holograms, just like
and,
Tupac.
And apparently they've now have jobs as Antonio's assistant fishermen.
Or at least they do until they forget about it 5 minutes later.
Right. And there was a whole lot of Spike trying to find jobs to pay the rent because they'd forgotten about that because they'd been too busy training.
So apparently everything in Samurai so far has taken roughly 1 month. Since they haven't had to worry about the rent yet.
And how long has it been on the air?
About a year and a half.
It involved, let's see, Spike's first job was watering some lady's lawn, which involved, well...
Urine? Please tell me it was urine.
Not wanting to run and
no,
then just...
No, it basically turned into an old lady wet t-shirt contest.
The second job was working in
His second job involved blowing something up.
Crashing a very expensive car right in front of within 2 seconds after getting in. The third job and got fired when he caused a massive explosion.
Oh, he worked for Michael Bay?
Actually, yeah, he got hired by Michael Bay after that.
I have to admit, the valet parking sequence was actually kind of entertaining.
If he caused a giant explosion, Michael Bay wouldn't have fired him.
Right.
Yeah, that's grounds for hiring there.
And then the third,
you mean
security
fourth.
Guard.
Fourth.
Well, no, well, or fourth, whatever.
Fort Max can't count.
I know. It's enough. Texas.
It's yeah. Samurai.
Fifth, get on. Oh, wait, we're not doing SPD, are we?
Mm.
Afraid not.
Not yet, but that's a good idea.
I just heard y'all counting down. I assumed we were going to that, so.
Yeah, so then stuff and then pink
and
battleizer.
And also involved actual, well, got Pink Ranger using the battleizer.
But only in the Megazord cockpit, so who even cares?
And it's pink, so again, who even cares?
Well, it being pink makes it notable for ever happening at all, but still. Limiting the battleizer to the Megazord cockpit just seems stupid. But hey, Samurai, what are you going to do? Well, that was Samurai for this week.
No, wait a minute, the wet t-shirt thing. are we talking, like, Betty White or, like, Jane Fonda old?
Because
if it's Betty White, I'm there.
What about Judge Judy?
Okay.
Because Judge Judy's got that lizard neck, you know, where she can, like, totally swallow a stop sign.
Did you say ostrich?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Ostriches are lizards.
Yeah, mostly.
Oh, I thought you meant swallow an ostrich.
No, ostrich.
Well, she can probably do that too.
Can you smile like a donut?
I shouldn't talk about Judge Judy. She'll kick my ass.
She's vicious.
Well, only if you pee on her leg and tell her it's raining. But anyway, I don't know. What next? Space time?
It's space time.
Forza.
Okay, then.
Let's see. Previously on Kamen Rider Meteor.
These three things happened. Wait, what?
That's what the announcer said.
It is.
Yeah.
Probably because they figured Meteor would take less time and be more interesting to recap.
Maybe so. But not.
Because okay, so still think... Forza.
Okay, so Paladin, you're doing this?
Yeah, okay, hang on. All right, we have the obligatory recap done. So Ryusei confers with Tachibana about the arrival of the Aries horoscope, and Tachibana concludes that since the Zodiac use has previously been confined to the school that the Kamen Rider Club belongs to, Aries must also be a transfer student. Back in the rabbit hutch, Kengo has completed the final Astro Switch, number 40, Cosmic. But when Forza transforms to try and use the switch, all he gets is a repeated warning before the switch apparently self-destructs.
Well, that's because he kept pushing the red
button. It was hilarious. Danger? What's that mean?
Danger, 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 danger. Goodbye. Goodbye.
You've got mail.
I would believe AOL had a self-destruct button.
Yeah.
It's labeled AOL. Sign in.
Or stock market, that's... Too much? No, sorry. Okay.
Well, it was obviously too much. They're out of business.
See? There we go. I was right.
Okay, Kengo has no idea why the switch fell apart and decides that they need to do more testing before Gintaro is ready to use it. Ryusei tells him he's going back to his old high school, but the club insists on following him yet again. Once they arrive, Ryusei notices that the students seem much happier than the last time he was there fighting Libra. At that point, they're confronted by Karu. Oh, the girl.
His not quite girlfriend. Is Lady Shinken Red.
Right.
Right. She returns a book to Ryusei, even though he doesn't remember borrowing anything from her. While Gintaro is willing to help them with whatever Ryusei needs, Ryusei correctly assumes that the Kamen Rider Club investigating things at this school will raise too much suspicion among the students.
I was really hoping he would go full emo and just, like, throw the book back at her and, like, I didn't borrow a book from you, bitch!
Well, no. No, she said she borrowed it from him.
Or yeah, but whatever. I mean, just like throw it at her and just be like, "You didn't borrow a book from me. I don't know you anymore."
Was it like that crane guy in Victory?
Yes.
Well, then she would have just hit him in the head with a fan.
Dawn knew what I meant.
That's not helping your case.
Hey, back off of Dawn, all right? Anyway, emo kids.
All right, Kengo locates the Amanagawa transfer student, who is a drama major named Yamada, who seems to have adjusted pretty well to the new environment, and after enduring an English lesson with Yamada, somehow intimidating the inexperienced professor, Ryusei notices a message in the book saying, run or you'll be put to sleep.
So, very run subtle or message. You'll watch the show.
Oh, it was a math book?
Maybe it's supposed to be run or... She was from Shinkenger. Maybe she's meaning run or you'll have to watch Samurai.
They're going to screw it up.
Or she could be talking about Ghost Sager.
But anyway,
Yuki has managed to locate the space club at the new school, but when she attempts to speak with the members, they start complaining about going off script, and apparently they pass out right on top of her.
Because they were actually from the judo club.
And that is when the Ares Zodiac finally appears. And the others rush in to meet Yuki, and they're just in time to see the Zodiac change back into Yamada, surprising absolutely nobody.
No! I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh man, they totally went to that expected place.
Yeah.
Still didn't explain why the watch broke, but whatever.
Yeah, they'll get to that.
No, they won't.
No, they won't.
Okay, Yamada declares that this new school has become his kingdom, and he's not willing to give it up, so Gentaro transforms and takes the horoscope outside to fight. Forza attempts to use several switches, yet again reminding people they're still for sale. But Ares somehow has powers that are able to shut off the switch modules. Kengo realizes that Ares is disabling more than just switches. Anyone who opposes him can be put into an eternal sleep. Before Forza is put down, Meteor jets in and asks Ares if his power works both ways. And Ares confirms he can effortlessly reawaken anyone he gets to put to sleep. And Meteor realizes this must be the key to saving his friend, since Ares can reawaken Jiro and allow the comatose student to switch off the defective Astro Switch.
Yeah, that seems like kind of faulty logic, actually.
Yeah, it's
yeah, considering Ares probably isn't the one who put him to sleep.
No, I don't think he is.
Well, it seems like Forza logic. Let's leave it at that.
That's very true.
No, well, rather it seems like, rather it's more Meteor's a dumbass at times.
Again, that's Forza logic.
Well, I haven't missed that.
No, Forza logic would be trying to befriend the friend of the defective switch.
Or befriend the coma.
Well, he might be able to do that, but we'll get to that in a moment. Meteor retreats, but Tachibana orders Ryusei to take down Ares and retrieve the Zodiac switch so they can study it to find a proper cure for Jiro. Ryusei is against this because he would just want to force Ares to use his powers for this. But Tachibana will not hear otherwise. Meanwhile, Ares meets Libra again and refuses to give up the domain of... I don't know how the hell to pronounce that high school name, so I'm not going to try. And Libra is definitely not happy about having to submit to the will of another horoscope.
Yeah, Libra's just kind of getting bitch slapped left and right here.
Yeah, he was real cool at first. Now he's just kind of a bitch, really.
My high school kids, too.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, JD, if you had watched Blade, where this actor first appeared, and seen the writer he played then, you would realize this is completely appropriate.
Ah, well, I'll have to go back and do that. I'm not going to do that.
That would require watching Blade.
Yeah.
Well, see, I didn't mind watching Blade so much. But basically, Garen's character trope in Blade was to be convinced to attack his friends all the time.
Nice. So he's a dumbass.
It's kind of like in Freakazoid, how, you know, Cosgrove would come up and say, hey, Freakazoid, you want to go get a mint?
Do I?
Oh, man, yeah. Oh, God, I miss
it. It kind of worked like that.
That's awesome.
So anyway...
Gentaro is reawakened by Karu and heads out to fight again just as Ryusei confronts Yamada before the day's review of performances, determining who gets put to sleep and who gets sent to the next dimension. Gentaro transforms again to battle Ares while the Power Dizer, of all things, shows up to take out some Dust Stars.
Hey, look, CG like, budget.
God, that was, like, out of nowhere.
Well, remember to be fair, this? That's how the Power Dizer began.
Yeah.
Remember, we have this thing.
And we still have a little money left in the CGI budget.
Not for long.
Forz manages to use the 39th switch, Stamper, to place an ink stamp on Ares before transforming to magnet states and blasting before him before the stamper mark causes an explosion. Because apparently ink stamps cause explosions in this universe.
Well, sure, why wouldn't they? Now I forget, does Pen go on the other foot, or...
I'm pretty sure... Wait, was Stamper left or right?
Left.
I'm pretty sure Pen was the same leg then.
Oh. Too bad, you could have, you know, Pen and Stamp at the same time, and...
You could have Kamen Rider Notary.
mail this.
Who are you calling stupid?
It'll be $15, but I'll stamp this. Sign here.
Kamen Rider, official responsible person.
So isn't that what Otsugi would be like as a Kamen Rider?
But with suspenders.
It's people at work that have little deals on their desks that say notary. I'm just like, really?
Huh.
Important.
All right, then. Magnet State prepares its limit break, but his weapon is intercepted by Meteor Storm. And Meteor Storm launches a brutal attack against Forze before delivering a finishing strike right at his heart.
And by brutal, you mean holy shit. Like, if he would fight, you know, monsters like that, then, I mean, it would be a very short series.
This is the result of basically 20 episodes of pent-up frustration at Gentaro.
But he loves him.
Well, that's
have they kissed yet?
Frustration.
Do you know how much Slash there is out there?
Do you?
I don't. I'm just guessing, really. It's an assumption, but
I'm going to guess lots.
I thought only kind of Slash if it wasn't actually happening.
Good point. See, I see what you did there. Neat. No, I think.
I don't think we really want to investigate that far into.
Definitely not.
I don't think you really have to investigate any further.
No, this really doesn't take a lot of.
It's like when you see two people go behind a door and close the door behind them and look at you while they close it. You know what's happening next.
Also, the porno music kind of gives it away.
That's attached to his crotch.
Have you heard Meteor's music? I mean,
I love
the Jamiroquai video down there.
So anyway,
what?
Tachibana is outraged at Meteor's action, so he shuts off the Meteor Driver and exposes Ryuke's secret at last, surprising probably everyone except Tomoko.
I don't know, she seemed kind of surprised.
Yeah, she seemed a little surprised, which I was surprised by. I was like, really? You're not supposed to be surprised.
Well, they forget things.
This is the worst
thing. They as in women, or they as in what?
Where's my sandwich?
Well, there was a shoe sale and it distracted her.
No, with Tomoko, it would be a mascara sale.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Ryusei confesses to making a deal with Yamada, which will save Jiro at Gentaro's expense. And Gentaro is actually happy that he was able to help Ryusei's friend, and thanks Ryusei for being honest with him at last, just as his heart stops.
And they embrace. I mean, no. Sorry, that didn't happen.
But it's okay, because next week, Cosmic States.
So I guess he didn't die then.
Well, he didn't turn gunmetal gray, so no.
Yeah. He didn't crumble to dust and blow away.
That never gets old. I don't know why.
Yeah, when Philip died in Double, it was sad.
Well, that's because when Philip died in Double, he died. I mean, it's not exactly the same thing.
Yeah, there's like dead and then dead. This is like
just Forze.
This is just comic book dead.
Yeah, pretty much. Or soap opera dead.
Soap opera dead. That's a good analogy. Good one. Props.
So how are y'all still liking Forze?
That's okay.
I like it. Actually.
I like it.
It's decent. My tolerance may be different because I had to sit through Ghost Sager, but I don't know.
I mean, I have no preconception of Kamen Rider at all. So, you know, I'm kind of coming into it completely raw. So, you know, I don't know better.
I come to your mom raw.
Yeah, you do. I got pictures. But so I, you know, so I don't have any preconception for what Kamen Rider should be. So I like it well enough.
It's better than O's.
Well, we'll just leave that open until they finish Forze, because, you know, they could have it even worse at the ending.
Yeah, they certainly
right
could.
Now, for me, it's about equal.
With the ending of O's or O's in general?
My opinion of O's in general is about, and my opinion of Forze, that it gets wrong twice as much what it gets right.
Oh.
I will say I like the characters in O's better than the ones in Forze.
I don't know, yeah. Forze is just more generally entertaining for me. I think I like the ridiculousness.
Yeah, I think that's probably what... I think it's quirky, and I think I like that.
The quirkiness just seems stale to me, though.
Plus, I think the Astro Switches are stupid.
Well, they're really? No Gaia Memories.
I mean, Akiba Ranger seems quirky to me. Forze just seems dumb.
Gaia Memories were the best gimmick ever. Everything should be Gaia Memories forever now.
I don't know. Ranger Keys are pretty up there.
Well, think about if Ranger Keys were Gaia Memories, though, how much more awesome that would be.
I believe that's illegal.
Ranger Memories. So speaking of which, time for Buster.
Buster's yeah. Ready, go.
Buster's ready, go.
1, 2, 3, 1, let's go!
Mickey?
Okay. So we're on what, episode 4?
What episode are we on?
8.
8.
All right, so watch yet this week. So
the episode opens up with Red and Cheetah walking in the hallway when Red's whining about he has to get up early because
oh dear,
yeah,
because Nick set his alarm for to get him up 100 minutes early instead of 10.
What kind of alarm even works like that?
And seriously, when did Nick become a second Deneb?
More to the point, when does Usada become, you know, Deneb and a half? You know, because he's smaller.
No, he's not anywhere as submissive.
I guess not.
Well, they're all a little bit Deneb.
So while they're walking in the hallway, they hear the alarm go off saying they're launching the gorilla truck, and they get freaked out thinking there's monster attack. But no, Blue's just practicing because he needs more practice. Because
he's old.
Even though they've all been training for the exact same amount of time, somehow Blue being older when they started means he needs more practice.
Because he's old. He's not as young.
I'm really not following this logic.
Look, you ever tried to teach someone, an old person, to use a computer?
I mean, it's not ancient, you know. It's only like 28. Jeez.
His metabolism hasn't even stopped yet.
So in Japan, is like 28, is that basically like 50? I mean,
no, I think
I guess
in Japan,
that's when the red gem in their hand lights up.
I think,
I know.
I think in Japan, 75 is like 50.
God.
I mean,
well, that could just be the radiation.
I think.
Wow.
Whatever age. Whatever rate. Age.
Tamer than the Thomas and Tank engine.
Hey, at least it's not the. I'm just gonna bleep that out.
What?
Nothing.
Never mind.
Okay. Well, we cut from that to enter, ganging it up
awesome.
Somewhere at a train station or some shit. And did anyone else notice that Inter's hand is really, really pink?
I can't say that I did.
I wasn't exactly looking at his hand.
Well, it's like his hand is like almost like bright pink ranger pink, whereas his skin and his face is like normal colored. It's like his hand had a chemical burn or something on it. It's really weird pink.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that now.
Well, yeah, it is kind of a weird color.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know what that's about, but it's weird. Anyway, back to the plot.
So is Enter.
That's true. Enter's French, so maybe that's normal for French people. So Commander Winky Coffee tells them that their job for the week is to guard the blueprints of the new Megazord they're developing, which sounds incredibly exciting.
All without revealing the actual blueprints.
Just the name.
Yeah.
Well, of course, they're classified.
And for some reason, Yellow is talking about something called melon bread, which, what the f*** is that?
It's melon bread.
How do you make bread out of a melon, or put melon into bread? The concept boggles my mind.
It's probably flavored with the juice of the melon.
Okay, I could see that if you're just using juice. So I was like picturing like bread with blueberries in it, only like chunks of, like watermelon in it. And my brain wasn't able to process how you'd cook that. Well,
kind of like lemon bread.
So it's more like a pound cake or some shit then.
Probably.
I guess so. That would make some sense because it would have to have sugar in it for Yoko to be interested.
But, you know, I mean, it's never going to compare to their cakes with like the whole strawberries on top.
Yeah.
That's just like, how the hell are you supposed to eat that?
It's bread covered in cookie dough.
That's melon bread?
Yeah. It's made from an enriched dough covered in a thin layer of crisp cookie dough.
That's
weird. Why do they call it melon bread?
Because they put these little cuts in it that makes it look like a melon, I guess? I don't know.
It does look kind of like a melon.
Japan does everything wrong.
Certainly do.
Well, we already talked about Forze.
And Gosei. Because
it looks like a pineapple. Yeah.
We also talked about how everything's not Gaia memories, and that's wrong, too.
So, GoBusters go to go intercept Enter from stopping his shenanigans or whatever the hell he's doing down there in the station. And he's surprised that they showed up so soon. To which they reply, "No, you're just f***ing slow." Ha! Sick burn.
I thought that was funny.
So, fight. And I lost place.
I know we keep asking this, but do the foot soldiers in GoBusters have names or no?
They do.
Do we care what the real name is?
No.
All right, then.
Do we know what it... wait a minute. Do you know it?
No, I just didn't care to look it up.
Oh, yes, here we go. The GoBusters, not Ghostbusters. Well, Bustin makes them feel good, so. They chase away Enter, and they meet Blue's old derpy friend from before they became Rangers. And Blue's all like, "Oh, great, you made your dream came true and became an engineer." And the guy's like, "Yeah, well, about that." And like, no one seems to notice the dude's like totally miserable.
They couldn't tell that just by looking at him?
Yeah.
I mean, he works at an office in Japan. How could he not be miserable?
He looked about two steps away from hanging himself.
So he takes them to the design room, I guess, which is surprisingly clean and not very cramped, well lit. And apparently there's just one computer in the room.
How did they get anything done?
Almost as though it was set up for a fight sequence rather than for actual use.
They could only afford one. They spent all their other money on sunglasses.
But yes, the entire facility is not connected to any outside network and built to block all radio signals.
Why can't they make movie theaters like that?
Yeah.
It would be great.
I mean, it's not that hard to cut off a cell phone signal.
Shit, mine cuts out in the bathroom. Oh, that could be my fault. I don't know.
Yes, it is.
Well, I guess it depends on how you're using your phone.
I don't know. After I shut out 5 guys today... that water kind of started to boil and creates like shit steam coming up, so I think that might have interfered with the signal.
Yeah,
it was amazing. I forgot what I was talking about.
GoBusters.
Sorry, I'm looking at my drink at the moment instead of my notes. Oh, that's right. Yes.
Back to Spencer Kong and Tracy.
What?
GoBusters.
Oh yes. Anyway, Blue Gorilla is eavesdropping on Blue because Blue Gorilla is a dick.
He seems a little codependent and insecure, really.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's grounds for divorce, actually. So while the other droids chastise him for being a douche, he basically says, "Whatever, I'm going to keep doing it." Meanwhile,
he says about that while pretty much the same thing, logic behind the training explanation.
Huh? Well, anyway, Mickey.
Anyway, Enter has found a fabulous hardware disguise, and he's walking around Lowe's like he knows what power tools are.
Oh, jeez.
His work apron with his hair down in front of his face, it's very convincing disguise, except for his techno goggles, which makes it look like he's going welding. Which actually does kind of fit for a hardware store, now that I think about it. So he brings the drill to life and creates some kind of horror abomination of pointy spinny bits.
Also known as Saturday.
Your Saturdays are much more interesting than mine, then. So, around about this time is when they get the alarm saying that there's a Megazord coming, and it's coming soon. So, Blue says, I'll go guard the plans, and then you two f***ers go off and get the Zords ready, and I'll join you when I can.
And actually, this is right after they realize that after they've been told to leave.
It was a great part, yeah, because, like, Blue is, like, right away, like, damn, my friend
and Red's
is a
like,
dick.
This guy's lying.
And Blue's
Why?
Still like caught
because
up in
he
like...
got a phone call in the building.
Which the only one that didn't get that was Yoko. She's like, really? Blue was all over it. Like as they were walking out, he knew it. I mean, as soon as like he was all over it, and then Red explains it, and Yoko's like, really? Huh. Wow.
Well, of course they can't have the female be competent.
I guess it's just an accomplishment she stopped being a bitch.
Yeah.
Or as much of a bitch.
No, she's 16. Of course she's going to be a bitch.
Yeah, she'll never stop being a bitch.
Wow.
What?
I had no idea.
Huh?
You can't make a phone call in there?
No. So they get the Zords out there and they wait for the monster to show up and the microwave dings, but no monster pops out with baked potatoes, so... They're kind of confused as to what's going on.
I wish a monster would pop out and give me baked potatoes.
That would be sweet. Would it,
I assume it would be the same microwave from the pizza episode.
God. And then we come back around to tossing salad.
Ah, so we are going to talk about poop.
Yes.
If you get poop and you're tossing a salad, you're doing it wrong.
Not according to that guy from the Kenya or whatever.
Battle Kenya?
No, there was... Anyway, it's too long to explain.
Okay.
Two people will know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's two more than usually we get on the show.
If Don knows what I'm talking about, I'll be really scared.
Well, we'll find out on Thursday.
Well, Don Horror or Don DeGoye?
Yes.
Okay, so... No monster, so what's everyone's first thought?
Go home. Have a baked potato.
The monster's underground, of course.
Well, no, the first thought is it's in the air.
Yeah.
Not the first thought being of like, hey, maybe the operator screwed up because, you know, she's a moron.
But that set up in a
well,
fun
she hasn't
joke,
screwed
though.
Up before.
But that was Nick's thought, and I thought that set up a fun joke because then he's like, no, you're bad at time.
So at this time, blasts start coming out from terrible model streets with little tiny cheap Hot Wheels cars, and it looks awful.
Those actually, you know, it's an insult to Hot Wheels cars to say.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone got stabbed for any of those.
No. Those were no
those like the Rose Art of Hot Wheels cars.
Ooh, I've seen those too.
So they're Matchbox cars?
Even worse.
Oh, they're worse than that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no meth was exchanged to get those things.
Oh, meth.
So, meanwhile, back at the computer farm, Blue confronts his friend and says, hey, what's up? And he says, oh, nothing at all, nothing at all. And I'm just going to pocket this portable hard drive and walk away. Don't mind me.
So, God,
Blue's
he
like,
sucks.
Hold the f*** up, dude.
It's no wonder this dude is, like, bottom of the barrel. He's a dumbass.
So, right before Blue can, like, crush his friend's skull into paste, the drill monster, Kool-Aid Man, his way into the room. Oh, yeah! and Blue begins to kick his ass while berating his friend for being a jerk.
And also kicking the computer's ass.
That is one talented old dude.
He punches through a tower, which is pretty awesome, actually.
Oh, well, it's a tower. No one cares.
It was a monitor, wasn't it? Or was it a tower? I guess it was a tower, wasn't it?
No, it was the tower. He's like,
bam! Yeah, it's a little more impressive.
It'd be more satisfying if he did it to a printer, though.
Mm. Those things.
Printers are evil.
What? PC load letter? What's that even mean?
I had one tell me one time to clean the slit glass.
What? That's just printer talk.
It left me deeply offended.
You.
Unfortunate euphemism?
I don't think it was euphemizing anything, really.
That printer wanted you to get pretty personal.
It wanted me to toss its salad, I think.
Clean my slit, Dave.
Did it at least cough up a nickel first?
I think there was one jammed in the paper jam.
Rub it that way, Dave.
They're all dead, Dave. Everyone. Where were we?
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Red Dwarf.
So Blue finally gets around to morphing because I guess it's convenient. At which point his friend runs away stealing the hard drive to hand it off to Enter because he's still going to be a dick.
It's like, oh, dreams? No, they just fade. No, they fade.
I'll take cash.
You suck.
I gotta say, I'm with him on that part.
Mm. No, his plan's pretty reasonable. I mean,
always take the cash when you can get it.
So Enter shows up and he takes the hard drive and goes, "Ha ha, fooled you."
No, not really.
Shut up, Fort Max.
No, but that's the basic. Just so I mean, he throws him to the ground and like tosses his money into the wind.
Yeah. Like, I just made it rain, bitch. Yeah.
You're a stripper now.
You're my bitch now.
The end?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
You're absorbed with your five guys?
I'm absorbed with something right now, and it's in this glass. Okay, yeah, so Blue makes quick work of the drill monster with regular Buster, not special Buster.
Well, after using two swords to pin him to the ground.
Is that what happened? Because episode kind of glitched.
Yeah, he used two swords to pin one of the drill arms.
Well, and then he used two guns to finish him off.
That's kind of some awesome Buster right there.
Yeah.
So I saw it. Mine cut from him having swords straight to him pulling out a gun.
Yeah, he took the two swords, stabbed it through the arm, stuck him to the ground. He's like, oh, I'm stuck to the ground, and then shot him in the face. It was great.
Wow.
I wish I saw that. So what time for Gatai now?
Yes, of course.
Time for the King of Busters.
Because they can't do anything without that damn thing anymore.
Mm. Well, they need the dimension thing to, because that can
they
shoot
need to
through
combine
the
to activate the protoculture engine.
They need to combine the big thing to make people buy the toys.
And they haven't perfected the dimensional pliers yet.
Okay, now I've been gone for a while. Have y'all talked about how terrible the GoBuster O design is? Or
yes, a little bit.
Okay, so yeah, I don't really need to touch on that. It's
feel free
shit.
To rant away on how terrible.
Yeah, you
it
might
is.
As well. We got an extra 15 minutes or so.
It's f-ing awful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even the show knows it.
Yeah.
They delay they delay as long as possible to use it.
How did this happen?
You can tell the
design
is
they got Ace. And Ace was awesome.
Well, that's the deal. They put all the work into making Ace awesome, and then they're like, oh crap, we have to stick these two other things on it.
They lost their confidence and tried to be like other Super Sentai shows.
However, it also seems to find the fights, though thankfully they're not falling, they haven't fallen into the Die Ranger trap.
Of sucking?
It feels a little Die Ranger-y whenever GoBuster O is on screen.
Well, I mean in the fact is that once they finally got their combination in Die Ranger, you suddenly didn't have them use
individual
mechs anymore ever again.
But they went through all the trouble to make, like, the propellers, the rotors, this shield thing, and he can only block blasts that come from the side, because he can't even get his arm all the way around to like get the shield in front of him.
The mobility of that suit design is atrocious. Atrocious. Puh.
Yes,
it's
I mean, even when it's going together,
and they're gonna pile two more Buster machines on top of it.
You see that big
probably three
going on the chest, and you're just like, oh god, this is huge and terrible and bad, not good.
Yeah, you know, when the show's costume can't even make the design look good, you know there's a big problem.
Yeah, and granted, it's a tank.
Which, yeah, I'm fine with, you know, cluster big can't move Zords, but this sort of goes against everything they've been trying to set up of making the Zord fights more interesting and dynamic. It just sort of opens the mouth and shits a big load in it and, like, makes you swallow.
Yeah, it's just it. I don't know. I mean, the thing can't do anything but that side shield and the dimension cutter, and that's it. That's
which
all.
Which is all CG.
Yeah, and it's crap.
It's got as much mobility as Engine OG-12.
It's pretty much got as much mobility as they ever used the Die Ranger suits for.
Yeah, I mean that's basically exactly it.
I just don't see how they put all this thought and effort into improving the Zord battles, and then they created this to ruin everything they set up.
I wonder how much of this is on Toei, how much of this is on Bandai.
It's always better to blame Bandai.
I mean, I would say that, you know, for this series, I mean, that's one thing about this series is that the human fights have ended up becoming a lot better, but the Zord fights have become a waste because...
Yeah, I mean, it's just especially disappointing because Ace in those first five episodes really stood out.
But also think about it. I mean, how many different Megazords did we see over that sequence? I mean, we saw a couple of different... I mean, we didn't even see the Megazord in this, you know. The whole thing about having, like, different Megazords, you know, other than the Metaroids... I mean, that got completely wasted on this episode because...
Well, the point with this one is it was a drill Megazord. It was underground.
Yeah, but that's a choice. Like, that is a choice that they made in making the episode. It's not like that had to be the way to do it. They could have chosen to do it differently. You know, they limited themselves to say, okay, we're going to do this underground. And that gimmick only worked enough... I mean... It was stupid anyway because they sat there and just held it off until they could.
Well, what else could they do?
They
could have written something interesting to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. They could have written something interesting instead of just wasting our time with a really, really shitty Megazord battle. I mean, it was essentially nothing but Ace and O3 standing there getting shot at. Until they
with a really terrible effect shot.
Yeah, I mean, really, really bad. So I don't know. It's almost like they're trying to. I mean, we talked about this being a little bit different of a series, and it's almost like they're trying to reemphasize on the human aspect rather than the Megazord aspect. Which I mean, isn't that what Kamen Rider is for? I mean,
Kamen Rider is also a lot more successful than Sentai right now too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's what Sentai's trying to grab onto.
Profit.
Yeah.
They're always trying to do that.
Well, also, I imagine part of it is the fact that Sentai is like at 7:30.
Oh, gee, a whole half hour earlier.
Yeah, on top of all the problems we point out technical-wise of Go Buster O, the design of it also doesn't work for the show design either. Because it doesn't look like the rest of the designs in the show. It's... Everything else in the show is very sleek and muted color schemes, basically. And then you get Ghostbuster O, who's just like this mass of technology and clashing colors, and it doesn't fit in with the rest of the show.
Now, I could forgive that if they tried to explain it away like they did with everything else, saying they purposely designed it bulked up so it would have extra armor and defenses. But right now, it's just ugly.
Well, yeah, it's
stupid.
Not like, it's not like the different mechs were, they had to modify the mechs to let them be able to combine. So it being bulky and stuff, fine, does make sense in story.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter unless they actually
you gotta remember,
I'm not criticizing it in story. I'm criticizing
it the other way around. I mean, they design the suits and the Zords and everything and then build the story around it. I mean, it's not like they came up with this idea, all right, we want it to be really big and clunky looking because that's what the story... No, they made it how it was, you know. So, I mean, again, these are choices that people made at some point. It's not like it had to be that way. This is not a pre-existing, you know, fiction.
And if you look at all the individual Zords and the modes they form, they all look similar to a certain style. But when you put them all together into GoBuster O, it doesn't match the style of the previous Zords.
It's like they couldn't figure out any other way to design a combining toy.
Yeah, that's basically what it feels like.
Which just sucks.
Which I'm guessing it's because the individual Zords have to do so much that they're required to be three things now instead of just one. And I think that's made Bandai's engineers' brains explode.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, would it have been cooler if, like, the individual limbs of Gokaio would have, like, done something? Maybe. But Gokaio was so awesome, I didn't care. You know, it's not like...
You mean the toys are in the show?
Yes. I mean... the only thing that those four other thing, other than the Gokai Galleon, the only thing those other four vehicles are good for is becoming limbs. That's it. And you know what? I don't care. Like,
and
that,
then later
they
on, they
really
don't even
well.
Do that.
So, you know, I don't know. It's just like...
Hopefully
and
we'll
they've been able to do...
Huh? Wait, don't we have a rest of an episode? Don't we have a last part of an episode?
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah.
And they have been able to do triple-changing Megazords before. I mean, they did Time Ranger Zords 10 years ago. Those looked better than this. They had three different forms, and they maintained a uniform design.
But the individual Zords only had two things they had to be, basically.
Well, exactly. Like,
yeah. Well, anyway, they defeat the monster and save the blueprints, and everybody's happy at the end.
Well, wait a minute.
Wait. No, they didn't.
They didn't save the blueprints.
Enter has the blueprints.
No, I didn't watch this shit.
Yeah. So, but that's the thing that's amazing. Enter gets the blueprints, and then the guy comes back, and he's like, I wasn't able to save them. And he's like, I know, because you came back. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't come back. And then the guy's like, I'm going to try to work harder. And I'm thinking, when is he going to punch this guy in the face and tell him to get the f*** out? Because... he, like, sold them out, and they're like, no, you go back to work, and you work hard. I'm like, you're going to let the little wormy traitor bastard go back to work for you? Are you stupid? No. Whatever.
Well, they already let the f*** up engineer stay on board.
Yeah, but he was at least trying, you know. This guy, like, I mean, totally sold him out, you know.
And plus, it's also, if there's a switch on it that is, this will break, this breaks stuff, why is that even there in the first place?
Well, no, it was like a fill tank switch. You know, it was like, you know, turning off the feed to the tank to be filled.
It was the Enetron flow control or something.
Exactly, yeah.
It's that thing on your gas tank that makes the pump stop when the tank is full, except this has a switch where you can turn that off because, you know...
I mean, not that that makes a lot more sense, but, you know.
But that's what the
I mean, yeah, it's just another thing you could break, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure for testing purposes or something, it's important to have the ability to turn that off.
Yeah.
There's just not, you know, a practical
if you want to divert
scenario
power,
where you really need it.
Maybe if you want to divert power or something, I don't know.
Maybe if you just want to break the damn thing, I don't... I mean,
maybe if you want to have an in-show reason to break something, I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
It's meta!
But yes. So, so yes, Enter has the plans, and Guy somehow, and, well, and Trader Engineer somehow is not in a brig somewhere.
Yeah, that's exactly, like, what?
And Ryuji knew that Monkey Deneb was eavesdropping on them.
Yeah. That guy's pretty smart.
Ryuji likes
that's a pretty stupid plot point.
Yeah.
Next week, Usada is kidnapped.
Eh, who cares?
Who kidnapped Roger Rabbit?
Well, considering that they have plans for a Megazord already.
Okay, we're gonna take a break and then, you know, power playback and stuff.
Woohoo!
Superhero Time, the internet's best tokusatsu podcast about Pokemon, Star Trek, Transformers, and your mom.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on the Street Fighter 3.
It's time for Power Playback. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
So, finally this week for Power Playback, we're watching Gokaiger versus Gavin.
Yay!
And it was amazingly pretty good for a Sentai movie.
And now JD's going to talk about it.
What?
You heard me.
God damn it. One thing I wasn't ready for. I don't even remember what happened.
You honestly didn't think he was going to throw you under the bus? Again?
Yeah, that's a good point.
See, it's funny because earlier JD volunteered to me to do the Go Busters summary instead.
Yeah, and I thought I was out of the woods then. Well, I did tell my wife we'd be done soon, so oh well.
That's a lie.
Let's see. Gokai Galleon's getting shot at by Gavin's ship, and he shoots him down. And so then the Gokaigers meet Gavin, and then he arrests them.
He doesn't just arrest them. He kicks their ass into the ground.
Yeah, he totally stomples them.
Meanwhile, Guy sees the Galleon get shot down and starts flipping his shit.
Yeah.
More than usual.
Gavin! So the Gokaigers get arrested. And Gavin takes him back to the sports stadium because that's where the space galactic.
Their big UFO has a sports stadium in it.
Oh.
It's the space stadium.
The space stadium.
The space right. Sports stadium.
Where else do you think the space Broncos play?
So, the Gokaigers are. Sentenced to death
by Space M. Bison.
Yes, by Space M. Bison.
Of course.
And just as they're about to be shot, Gavin releases their shackles.
Well, first he asked specifically, "What are their charges?"
Oh yeah, and he's like, "Shut up, bitch! I'm gonna shoot these dudes." Or. Something like that. So,
They defied the gang, the Zangyak.
Ah, yes, they defied the Zangyak. Very important point.
So, Gavin releases them just as they're being shot at and reveals right. 10 minutes into the movie, oh no, I just did this all as a setup.
I don't know what he would have done if the guy would have been like, well, this is their list of charges. Would he have gone like, oh, okay, we'll shoot him then?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Probably.
I thought you were part of the Zanyak, man. Okay, well, sorry, Gokaigers.
Now you got to remember this
movie.
He is a cop, so yeah. You know he's gonna do dick things.
Yeah,
he looks kind of like a dick too.
A little bit.
Like a literal dick, or
I don't know what dicks look like to you. Then.
Like a chrome dildo, maybe.
I know he's massive hair on the top of it, and
got a lot of buttons.
Well, he just looks like an old dick. That's all.
Very God. I'll tell a story about that later. Anyway, ex-girlfriend's dating a 6-year-old guy. Anyway, I went ahead and told the story. So, anyway, it turns out that M. Bison is actually a monster who's related.
Oh, we knew that.
Yeah, shocker. Who's related to a character from a series from Gavin. Apparently.
Well, we don't know that yet.
We learn that later, but, you know,
but
whatever.
Anyway, they start fighting, kicking the Gorman ass.
Yeah, because all the cops that were there were actually Gorman, you know.
Dump troops.
Yeah.
Kicking dump troop ass. That's yep. certainly impressive.
And then in comes the super dump troop.
Yeah.
Gavin Bootleg.
That's the best name ever.
It is.
It really is. It's like we're not even trying. It's just knock off Gavin. And knock off Gavin kills, beats the crap out of pretty much everybody. They open up a dimensional gateway to the other Gavin dimension.
Maku space.
Maku space, which was blocked off ages ago.
Well,
when...
not so much blocked off, but mostly destroyed when Gavin blew it up.
Ah. Important things from a series I never watched. Okay.
Well, I guess
the important thing
somebody...
to remember is that Gavin wears white pants with boots.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, to what's him, it's probably still the 80s.
Mm.
Which point. In Japan means it was the 70s.
Right.
He has never changed his clothes since the 80s.
No.
Those he has good taste
no,
in
no, no, he has once.
His gloves look original, too, so. Hmm.
He was wearing different clothes in the last episode of Scheider.
Scheiser? What?
It's a Jewish Sentai.
Which is why it was used in VR Troopers.
Mazel Tov Green! So.
Well, Gavin has good taste in jackets, though. Yeah.
True, he does. So while all the ships going down, Marvelous starts having an acid trip flashback.
Yeah. He's like, dude, I totally know that guy. When I was a little kid, he touched me.
He groped me and hugged me and smiled.
Yeah.
Thus began their relationship.
Yep. So apparently the whole deal, all of this hoopla was started back in the day when Marvelous jumped into the arms of an old man and felt his warm embrace that taught him about courage.
In a Deckeranger cargo ships that get blown up all the time.
Hmm. That's what that was. So, he felt the warm embrace of an old man and then knew what his future would hold.
And then Guy comes in.
And then, oh yeah, Guy saves
through the floor.
Guy's
subtle as always.
Remember, it's a drill. So he drills up through the floor. It's after that that he tells the story of the...
Gavin tells the Gokaijers to just get out of there.
Right, run. And so they do. Because they're like, we don't know you.
And hey, Bosco's there.
Yep,
for
Bosco
no
shows up.
Apparent
eating popcorn.
Bosco is there to further the plot.
Yeah.
Basically.
Why he showed up in the series, too.
The only purpose he serves is to really just further the plot. Because he tells them basically where Gavin has been taken. What was his... I don't even know. Did he have an angle? I don't think he even had an angle.
He did.
What was it?
It was to get them away from the galleon for a while.
Oh, that's right. Which comes into play later for 10 seconds. But anyway, we'll get back to that. So, so he tells them so that they'll go try to rescue Gavin. They go back to the galleon for a while, and then I can't remember. They come back, and for some reason they run into the other people that...
They go back to the galleon, then when Marvelous tells them, then they get the call from Bosco.
Right. Then they go out. That's right. Then they
then
go
they
out.
Go out and then start head then head over to the stadium to start trying to figure out how they get to Maku space, and then they run into Santa.
Yeah, they run into other guys that look like Gavin but are not Gavin. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Say no more. Yeah. That was a very meta thing, but anyway.
It was.
If that wasn't meta enough...
It gets worse.
It gets worse.
Or better, whatever your perspective is.
Right. Because after a conversation... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just love how impenetrable that whole joke is to someone who doesn't know a thing about Sentai.
Yeah.
It's also like, why is this guy here playing two other roles? What the hell?
No, they were already... Well... He had already played those other two roles in Gokaiger.
Yeah,
if he
was
saw the
in
movie
the
anyway.
Because he was Battle Kenya in
the Christmas episode and was Denji Blue in
the movie,
the 199 movie.
That's right. Yeah, so, I mean, if you had watched all of Gokaiger, you would have seen him at least before. So, I mean, I at least, you know, again, having little preconception, I knew at least what they were getting at. But it was, that did seem one of the more inaccessible things that they've done in the run of Gokaiger. But it gets worse because they decide that, or for some reason, those guys know that the way to get to Maku space is to use their ranger keys because they're linked to Gavin in some way that they don't explain in show.
Yes.
But you're supposed to know that because out of show, it's all the same guy.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what they do. They go back to the stadium.
They go back inside the surprisingly not drilled stadium.
Yes, right? The surprisingly not drilled stadium.
It's okay. They just put a new rug over it.
Boy, whoever works on that place, they are good.
You saw how fast Japan rebuilt from the tsunami.
This is true.
Yeah, they're used to it by now with all the monster attacks.
Yeah, they rebuild fast
from week to week.
Right, they have experience with rebuilding skyscrapers.
Yeah. Well, they just have, like, the same thing that, like, Mr. Fantastic has, where it just, like, rebuilds itself. Comic book joke? Sorry.
I'm telling you, they just threw a new
unstable molecules?
Basically, yeah. The entirety of Japan...
No. Vibrating molecules is the Flash.
Unstable molecules. The entirety of Japan is made of unstable molecules. That's how they just put all those buildings back together. Anyway, so they go to Maku.
Unstable molecules are the GN particle... comics.
Well, Marvel, yeah. anyway.
Ken would have agreed with me if he was here.
Probably. But he's not, so...
Yeah, with the Flash, it's just vibrating his molecules really fast.
That has absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking about, Fort Max.
Not at all. Not even close. But that's okay.
Fort Max, stop trying to suck up to the comic nerd.
So they go to Maku space, and they're actually going to try to break people out of a prison that's so amazing, impenetrable, it's never 2,000 years, no one's ever blah. Okay, you know they're going to break them out, right? Okay.
Of course.
It's like, why even bother with the setup? We know they're going to break them out.
yeah, but people break out of there every day. It's not really so impressive that they're going to go and break somebody out of there.
Right.
It wasn't terribly impressive anyway.
Well,
no. No, and so basically what begins is a long sequence of people fighting and breaking off and fighting.
And Doc being a doofus.
Well,
first they have to meet everyone inside the prison.
Yeah, they meet, oh my god. And I don't even know who all of those people are. I know.
You have the three Gaiark ministers.
Hooray!
Yes.
Just from...
They're locked up and they're out of booze, so that's a fate worse than death.
No, they're not out of booze. They like how dirty it is, but it's too cramped. They still have the booze that they got from Genta.
They sure made that last.
I love they remembered to put their ghost hats on.
Yeah.
And forgot that they're dead.
And then there's jealous shit.
With his wedding ring.
His huge wedding ring.
I love they keep wanting to explain what happened to him, and they're like, no, we don't want to know.
I know, it was great, because I actually wanted to, how did he get there? He was so happy.
What about the kid?
Yeah. Where did they go? Why is this happening to this poor man? Nope, don't care.
Marvel's like, just don't care, shut up.
You always cause trouble.
He'll never be explained.
And he did.
You know, I bet Jellishid would get along really well with Cancer's Odiart.
No.
And also there, you have the bird and...
He's not a bird.
Yeah, he's not a bird. You said that very clearly.
Yeah.
Even though he looked like a bird.
Navi's not a bird. She's a door.
I'm not a bird. I'm a door.
Yes, and you also have...
What are these?
Announcer from Geki Ranger.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Flit. Hooray. And some telephone alligator monster.
That's from
that monster looks awesome.
Alligator, the CEO of Dino Curry.
From Abba Ranger.
Well, that explains it then.
If you had watched Abba Ranger versus something or other.
It's Deca Ranger versus Abba Ranger.
Whatever.
Oh, and Vankyria is there too.
Because it's cheaper to stuff somebody in that suit than to get the girls back to play the human forms.
Of course. Well, they're probably too old to play those characters again.
Maybe.
And obviously the girls have been in jail for way too long because they're fighting over Doc.
Well, maybe they saw his magazine spread.
Yeah.
Unfortunate euphemism.
He's quite famous.
Oh, he's the legendary hero.
Don DeGoyer.
Don DeGoyer. Yes.
He has a toga.
So, after all these people that I had no idea who they were, except for Gelicito and maybe the two people from Go Under.
Three people from Go Under.
Three people Go Under, I'm sorry.
Obviously, you didn't know them that well.
Yeah. I've only seen like four episodes of Go Under. So.
You should rectify that quickly.
I'm working on it. You
should rectify that immediately.
I just got bitched out on my other show for not being up on comic book shows. So, you know.
So,
and we also were going to bitch you out for not being up on Double.
Even though
seriously? What the f***, dude?
Even though we just spoiled the end of Double a little while ago. Oops.
God. Okay, so anyway, basically this is how this episode goes down. Everybody starts out on the bottom floor. Two people stay on the bottom floor.
Well, actually, first, then after all the ruckus, then just Gorman comes in.
Like, what? It was hilarious.
Everyone just stops. The Gorman just slowly backs away and sounds the alarm.
It was great. He goes off camera and then, like, a two beat goes by and then the alarms go. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It was really funny. I did laugh at that.
Comedic.
So, Marvelous just cuts all the cells open.
Yeah, cuts all the cells open, creates mass panic. And who stays behind on the cell floor? It's
Joe and Guy.
Joe and Guy stay on the floor. Then everybody else goes up. And basically, this is just like, I don't know, it's just a series of splitting off fighting. It's really not even important. Basically, until you end up with Marvelous on the top floor fighting for the life of his beloved
Space Sheriff
Gavin against Knockoff. I'm sorry, Bootleg. Whatever.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Bosco and Sally are eyeing the galleon again.
Yeah. So basically, this is just a terrible excuse to show off the Go Busters for really no good reason at all that makes any sense whatsoever.
Because like
Bosco. Like usual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bosco goes up to try to steal the galleon, and before he gets there, the Go Busters, for some reason, show up and fight him off. And they're like, all right, cool, we did that. We'll let them take care of the rest of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is pretty typical for a Sentai movie.
But keep in mind, this is Bosco, who repeatedly kicks the Gokaigers in the face, and three of the Go Busters are just like, eh, whatever.
Again, typical for Sentai movies.
Yeah. Wow.
See, I'm not.
This is how you know that they're awesome. You should watch their show.
Yeah, because they're way better.
How powerful they are.
Yeah, look at that. I mean,
I did like how Bosco called them Super Sentai wannabes.
No, that's the Kiba Ranger.
You know, their suits aren't even made of spandex. What the hell?
And yeah. Of course, I do. Well, and of course, they did distract Sally properly.
Yeah, that was awesome. Give her bananas. She's like, what?
And then at the end, Sally trying to apologize to Bosco by offering the cantaloupe.
Yeah. Anyway, back on the ranch.
But yeah, yeah, now one thing that's important to note is that apparently they're going to be expanding Maku space by Don Horror's blood in him by watching Bootleg Gavin whip Gavin.
Yeah, there's some...
That's not suggestive at all.
Yeah,
somehow... there's no subtext to that.
No. Basically...
No hot subtext.
Spank him harder. My space will expand. So... yeah, basically the plan here is that this monster that we saw earlier is related to another monster that I have no idea who it is because it's from a series I didn't watch. But apparently he was important. And he's going to use his blood to, make the Maku space larger.
And then when they get to the second level of Maku space, they're confronted by the Sneak Brothers.
No, no.
The Sneak Sister, thank you.
Yes, Sneak Sister.
Elder and Sister.
This whole sequence is pointless. The important thing to remember is that there's multi-levels, and it ends up, as they keep going, there's like doors that open, and they go
now,
through.
I do like how Luca is taking care of it's finding the real one.
Yeah, by smashing the... smashing the little head.
Playing whack-a-mole.
Yes.
But it doesn't really get awesome until everybody's fighting on different levels, and finally on the bottom level, they pull out the Galleon Buster.
No, not yet.
No, I'm sorry, okay.
You still haven't gotten to Marvelous Fighting.
I did say that. I'm trying to skip over
all
of...
Well, to be fair, you're skipping over the Ghost Sager level, and that's pretty appropriate.
Yeah.
I'm trying to. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to skip over all the unimportant... There's multiple levels. They're using different powers to fight different...
And I'm takes on Robogog, King Gagan, and King Drake.
Right. I don't even know what all those monsters are. They don't
matter
to me.
I don't either.
They're from Ghost Sager. They don't matter.
Okay.
Nobody cares.
Is there anything else that's important that I need to point out on these multiple levels? No?
Marvelous gets a really kick-ass fight with Bootleg.
Yeah, the fight between Marvelous and Bootleg is pretty intense.
And then he frees Gavin by shooting his sword and Bootleg's sword. Well, his gun and Bootleg's gun at their swords.
And letting the bullets bounce off the sword and break the chains holding down Gavin.
Yes, and that was a badass.
Yes.
And such is Marvelous.
Yeah.
And then Marvelous throws his arms wide open and invites Gavin to jump in.
Yes. And so he returns the
and
love.
And then they embrace.
Yes. He returns the love that Gavin had given him. And they enjoy a long, lustful embrace.
And then everyone shoots the floor.
Yeah, and then everybody shoots the floor because apparently they watched
leather pants.
Apparently they watched Underworld and thought that
would
be
cool. Doesn't really work either.
Yes, didn't the Mythbusters test this one?
They did.
Yeah.
I believe it was shooting through a door.
No, it was shooting through a floor.
Yeah, they shot through the floor. I don't remember what the outcome
was. Tested the myth that anyone can sit through Underworld and stay awake.
Yeah.
Maybe for a follow-up.
So, yeah. So they
anyway, it's space Maku, so reality is kind of warped anyway.
They all jump, what, to the bottom floor, right, is how this...
Yeah, they go through the bottom floor, then they...
Down to the foyer.
And then Guy uses the special charge using
the
all
very
silver
special
keys.
Charge.
Yes.
It's time for special charge.
Guy.
And they shoot up through the building.
Destroying everything.
Blowing up everything, and then and then the sword that's up on the top floor just falls down the massive hole, and Marvelous just catches it.
Sword goes down the hole.
It's the exact thing though I have come to expect from Gokaiger, where it's like, oh, he left his sword up there, and then it's like, oh no, it's gonna come down in a really cool way. Yep, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a really nice money shot of them walking through the fire when he catches the sword.
Yeah.
And see, one thing they established and did stick to through Gokaiger is there's no replacement weapons.
No. No.
Not like in GoBusters.
God. Transport. I got a new one. So, yeah. Let's see. Then what?
So then, back at the docks with the rusted shovel.
They're
after
at the dock by the
bay. Space. By using those ranger keys again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they're back at that one dock.
Yeah. And JD is completely lost.
I'm truly trying to think. From that point on,
this
I didn't really
Gavin
care.
Gavin and Marvelous start to really make out.
Yeah, I think he's like, oh, yeah, that was you. I've had so many young boys in my life, I wasn't sure, but...
And Marvelous is like, you made me the man I am today.
Right.
And you developed into a fine young man at that.
You're a fine, fine young man, you are.
And an adult.
You're so strong.
That's okay.
Handsome.
Gavin is an adult.
So
his shoulder is so strong. Let me just rest my hand on your shoulder for an uncomfortably long time.
He does have this really freaky rape face in that flashback with Kid Marvelous.
A little bit.
I think that's just a normal expression.
So then it's the all out fight at the docks. I guess.
Then suddenly the monster of the movie comes back,
and Bootleg is there as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So Gavin goes off and
so
fights.
They all go transform.
Which is and then they have the
now,
whole. This is where they do
it
the
takes a mere 20th of a second for Space Sheriff Gavin to equip his combat suit.
Let's see that
now.
Again.
Let's see this electroplating process one more time.
In slower motion. We need to take.
I take it that's something straight from Gavin.
Every episode.
Well, that wouldn't be irritating at all.
Oh no, of course not.
Oh God. But then they do it for the go-karts.
They actually use his stock footage twice every episode.
Wow, really?
No, they. Seriously? They would use stock footage. That stock. They would use that type of. They would use that. They would only show that sequence once each episode.
Oh, okay.
Well, the 80s version of it.
Still, wow.
It would also have the same narration every time explaining Maku space.
Oh, my God.
Which, sadly, they did not have in this movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Of course, presumably because it did not involve the machine that Don Hoare used, which would then blow up.
Don Hoare.
So anyway, Gavin Trooper transforms.
Yeah, and then
VR.
However, it takes a mere tenth of a millisecond for the Pirate Sentai Gokaiger to transform.
Yeah, and
now
so
let's
body fucking die.
Process once. And they were using the original. They were using Gavin's narrator for that. Well, for Gavin's part.
Okay, but anyway.
So we get to see them all transform, and basically the big fight goes on.
And then, of course, and then you see the regular. All six transforming at once, stock footage.
And then, like any respectable VR trooper, Gavin runs off to fight by himself.
Yeah.
Correct. So Gavin fights Bootleg, and the Gokaigers fight the monster. And then
you get.
Oh, this is when Gavin's awesome theme song starts playing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is pretty good music.
So I talk about being a man, because you're a man.
Yes. Be a manly
manliness
man. With manly arms,
titties.
Manly courage, and being brave and manly.
Yes, rah! Catch young boys and they fly through the air. Manly. Anyway, so they fight, and Gavin beats Bootleg
with the awesome new version of the Laser Blade theme again, which is like the sixth one. Or seventh.
Well, they didn't have much of it. I mean, when you don't have like Zords and things, you know, you don't have much of a gimmick, right? I mean,
he has a giant robot dragon.
Well, that comes into play later, because of course after they beat the monster, you gotta beat the bigger version of the monster. They don't even bother with the lasers thing this time, though. He's just like, I'm big, motherfucker.
But the Gokaigers do their usual weapon change thing.
The monsters can grow then at some times and then face a weird looking rubber suit dragon.
Of course.
Yeah, but they didn't do that this time.
So I like that the Gokaigers are all doing the things where I'll show you my marksmanship. I'll show you how to take a fall. I'll show you my swordsmanship. And then guys like, I'll show you.
Whatever it is I do.
The things that I do with the thing. So yeah, they do the weapons trade and. I don't know. Yeah. And then they go to fight the big monster.
And he starts activating Maku space in the city. Yes.
That's bad.
Sadly, it is not nearly trippy enough.
No.
Well, they were probably low on drugs by this point.
Yeah.
So they make the Gokai Ultimate Dragon Monster Gavin... combination thing.
Which is really just
he's just standing on the dragon.
Gokaio standing on Star Beast Dole.
Right. And with Gavin and Marvelous standing on the head.
Yeah, you have their
awesome
combined versions of their of Dole's attacks, and then you have Marvelous, and then you have the Gavin Marvelous dynamic.
Yes, that's right.
I thought we were talking about the Gavin Marvelous when you put it that way. Dynamic the whole time.
Yeah, there's a lot of dynamic going on there.
Yeah,
and the Gavin.
Well, this is now when. Well, this was making it official.
Oh.
Is it like a wedding? Like, did they get married when they killed the monster? Was that what that was?
It's considered a civil union, but yes.
I mean, combining your finishing attacks is
considered. Is that like consummating the relationship? Combine your finishing attacks?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. I didn't know Japan was so progressive. Wow, that's. yes, they win. And of course everyone's talking about how
as the monster is destroyed, Maku's space disappears and the sky goes back to normal.
Yay.
And sadly the trippiest thing in that entire battle was just the buildings badly ramming into Gokart Ultimate, which that was a lame
seen that before.
Not even the Maku space effects in the 80s looked that bad.
I don't even know that I paid that much attention to it. Anyway, so the end of the episode is full of more wank as they now bring together all three of
all
the versions.
All three Kenjiobas.
Yes.
And
they talk about
essentially
how
recreate the scene from the closing scene from the last episode of Space Sheriff Scheider.
Scheiser?
Scheider.
Oh. I could have swore
which
you said
has
right.
Space Sheriff Scheider, Space Sheriff Sharivan, and Space Sheriff Gavin all transforming at once.
Mm. Yeah, which they do here. They give them back. They give them the ranger keys.
To by the voice of God.
They give them their ranger keys.
Yeah, what
so
was
that,
that about anyway?
Just to see it, I guess. It was like, wow, we want to see these three guys that look a lot alike.
Again, like I said, they were basically copying the last scene.
No, not that. I mean the voice of God thing. What was that about?
Well, Maku space broke the universe.
Well, in this movie, it was because it was in the last. That's how it was done in the last episode of Scheider. In Scheider, I'm going to assume drugs. Because again, it was the 80s.
Scheiser?
That should be our default explanation from now on. I'm going to assume drugs.
Why did they make GoBustro so bad? I'm going to assume drugs.
Well,
it's just like that one episode of Voyager.
Yes. The end hates everybody.
Oh, the one with the salamanders.
Yes, precisely. So anyway,
it's
we
like
get to see
really
the total
wank episode of 7 days.
And of course, Guy asks for more autographs.
Yeah, more autographs.
After having
you got to win a lottery to get those.
Who wrote this, Fun Bub? that's pretty much it. I think. Yeah,
that's the end of Gokaiger then.
And Marvelous sheds a tear as he must separate from the old man
that
taught him about love and courage. Mostly love, in the way that only an older man can love you.
Yes. In the butt.
But he was gentle.
Well, that's pretty much it for Gokaiger then.
No.
Well,
there's still Superhero War.
Yeah, that's just going to be like guest spots, though.
And, you know,
there's also the Net movies.
Well, and I'm sure, you know, next February there'll be GoBusters versus Gokaiger.
Or, depending on if they go back to the usual schedule for the Versus series.
That's true.
I mean, there's no reason to assume they won't right now.
Yeah.
We'll see how it shapes up later.
Yeah. Because granted, this...
I guess they could start a new thing.
Because Gokaiger versus Gosager was not actually a Versus series movie.
And shouldn't have happened because Gosager.
Well, no. Well,
Gokaiger kind of broke all the rules of being crossovers nonstop anyway. So.
Yeah.
That's always good.
Maybe instead of GoBusters versus Gokaiger, it'll be GoBusters versus whatever the next writer is. They'll just start doing that every year.
Or maybe they'll finally give Time Ranger their crossover movie.
Maybe monkeys will fly out of her butt.
No, I think the monkeys are more likely.
Perhaps I could jump into the arms of an older man and he could teach me about courage.
Mickey?
No, I think JD and Mickey are about the same age.
Your mom's kind of like an older man. I mean, she's got a beard.
She does have the embrace of an old man.
And you could kind of consider that a penis for how large it is. Yeah.
Most clitoris are like 7 inches, right?
Didn't we have that joke like the first time you were on the show?
Yeah, I think I made that joke.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I hear that some women have two.
It's going to be
one in the front, one in the back.
It's going to be an interesting drive from Oklahoma to Dallas.
Oh, man. I am so excited.
Kilby's going to make us take a taxi back.
Gosh, of course, Kilby to listen to the show way down, way down.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, we should, because he doesn't hardly ever listen anymore.
Nope.
Of course.
Driving off of Mississippi River.
No, because we're not picking up JD until Oklahoma City.
I don't know where the fuck Oklahoma is.
They'll just drive to the river.
And anyway, the drive from Oklahoma City to Dallas is only 3 hours. We could barely get one episode in at that rate.
Yeah.
One of our shorter episodes.
Well, depending on traffic, it could be more like 4 or 5.
Well, we'll probably go early in the day.
Yeah, of course, it's usually a bit different because I usually go up. Well, it's probably going to be about the same time as it takes to get from Dallas to Tulsa, so.
God. How would you go to Tulsa?
My grandmother lives there.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay, they don't like her much.
Yeah, she gave Fort Max a tour for Christmas 1 year.
What?
Tor, the shuttle zord, otherwise known as a box.
Oh my god.
Tor the shuttle zord is like the worst toy ever. Like, think about Titanus, but a box and no motor.
Oh my god.
Is Tor worse than the Operation Overdrive zords? I mean, at least they do something.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of.
They don't do it well, but yeah, they do something.
And, you know, they're not a box.
God. Well,
granted, I'm the one who asked for Tor.
Well, nobody said you were a smart child.
Hey, you know, but older people are supposed to protect you and know better.
Yeah.
You expect. Well, here's the problem. You're expecting old people to know about this, to know about that.
Maybe he didn't jump into their arms as a child.
Yeah, perhaps if he would have jumped into their arms. Perhaps if he would have jumped into their strong embrace.
Yeah.
And learned about courage.
And manliness.
And manliness.
In the butt.
What makes a man?
I'm going to show you what makes a man, son.
Yes, according to Trent, the area of Tulsa that my grandmother lives in is Central Crackton.
Oh, that's pretty much Tulsa.
That's really. You also have crack out there.
That doesn't really describe.
You have meth in Tennessee.
It's all meth here.
You haven't upgraded to meth yet?
It's all meth here. There's no crack in Tulsa. It's all meth.
Yeah.
God.
Like the people who lived in the house behind her who had a meth lab.
Yeah, exactly.
Did it
See?
Explode?
There you go.
No. And they didn't share. Grandma was pissed.
No, well, she probably gave him a tour. Smoking cigarettes.
Well, she probably gave them a tour and it pissed them off, and that's why they didn't share with her.
Why did they give us this crappy Zord?
They can keep their meth in it.
But yeah, the meth lab that exploded was a couple blocks away.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. Oh my god. Yeah, Oklahoma is great. My coworker was saying she went to like one of the stores on the south side.
The Casa Bonita's closed again.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise me.
You know, I heard that around here, like last year, they found a mobile meth lab parked outside the emergency room. You know, just God. In case.
Oh, they busted one of the. When I was at Target, they busted these people that had one in their van. Like they were shoplifting, and they like somehow arrested them, and then Like, their van was, like, full of all the meth lab paraphernalia stuff.
Lifting stuff to make meth with?
Probably.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they would... Oh, yeah, they used to steal that stuff from us all the time. Or try to, anyway. They were usually pretty easy to bust.
Well, their meth heads are not very smart to begin with.
Yeah. But they're dangerous, man. When they're all cracked out, they will try to kick your ass. And, like, they had to, like, ram one guy's face in the concrete. You know, defensively.
sure.
Multiple, you know, defensively.
Multiple defensively. So, no, Oklahoma's great, man, because my coworker was telling me, like, she went to, I don't know, some phone store to get a phone for her son. And while she was there, the guy, like, at the counter told the hooker that was, like, sleeping on the counter to, like, go away. So the hooker went outside and then propositioned my coworker's husband. Because he was waiting in the car. It's like, my wife.
Did he accept?
No. My wife just went in there. No.
But no. If his wife hadn't just gone in there, would the answer have been different?
I don't know. Probably not. But knowing him. But
however, I will note that there are some good. A few good things that I found in Tulsa, like a boxed in television 2 for $3 at a thrift store.
You know, speaking of which, I found a web TV at a thrift store.
And here. Not just boxed, it was sealed.
Oh, wow.
Actually, the box itself was open, but the console inside was still shrink-wrapped in the original shrink-wrap with the warranty information.
Holy crap. Try to get the warranty on that. Oh! It's
like a if I tried that, it would probably involve a angry letter from Maddie back.
You try anything, you can get an angry letter from Maddie. Yeah, really. You don't even have to try that hard.
So had the boxed in. They also had a boxed in Televoice.
What's that one?
The little voice module unit. So that would have very 80s electronic speech.
I assume you bought this stuff then.
Yeah.
So are you keeping it or did you flip it?
Actually, I...
You opened it and started playing it, didn't you?
No, I gave it to... Actually, my roommate at the time at... UT Dallas. I actually collect older video games and stuff, and he didn't... I knew he didn't... He had a original television, but not a Intellivision 2. And I was like, $5. Why not? I'll get it for him. And he opened the thing right up.
Wow. Thank you for this priceless thing that you paid nothing
However,
for.
However, at that same place, I also got the Beast Wars PC game for like 50 cents.
God, that game.
Charged. You overpaid.
You overpaid.
Was that anything like the PlayStation version?
It was the exact same game.
Yes.
Oh, God. I sold that to Brian. I think I gave it to Brian. I don't know.
He overpaid.
He's going to kill you on this trip.
He loved it. I mean, he was all excited. He was like, oh, sweet.
How does that compare to the Transmetals game?
Infinitely worse.
I gave him that, too.
The Transmetals game is a crappy fighter, but even a crappy fighter is better than a horrible action game.
Oh my God, that game is so
bad. The best part about the PC game, PlayStation game, is the opening sequence with the opening scene of Beast Wars with different voice actors.
Yeah.
After that, it's all downhill.
God,
it is a first-gen PS1 game in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so bad. I mean, it's slow. It's clunky. The graphics are absolutely terrible.
It's hard.
It's incredibly hard. It is so bad. So bad. I was like, I hate myself today. I'm going to play Beast Wars.
Now I'll play it again just to remind myself of how bad it is.
Oh, God. So terrible. I should have Brian bring it and see if we can. Because I think PS1 games will play on the PS3.
They will.
Will they?
They should have a contest so you can get as far as they can in it.
God.
Yeah. If you have the first model, if you have one of the launch models, yeah, it will.
Yeah, I have the launch model.
So set up in your room at BotCon and then have a contest so you can play it for the longest without dying.
Yeah, really. That's like 10 seconds. Because you could, it took like 15 minutes to transform. So you're like getting shot at by everything. Yeah. Ugh. And you couldn't see anything because the graphics are so bad you couldn't even tell what things were.
The best Transformers games is still Armada.
Yeah.
Armada game is fantastic.
It is.
I don't know. I like War for Cybertron okay.
Oh, it's okay, but the Armada was just amazing.
Armada has you fighting on a level and then it transforming into Tidal Wave.
Right.
But you know what impressed me the most about Armada was how it handled forests and lighting. They had the best looking forest for a PS2 game.
And there was going to be a sequel, but then...
Not.
They decided that, no, you're not making this game. We're moving you to other projects.
I blame Pat.
And then didn't that whole studio end up closing down?
Thanks to EA.
Yeah.
God, EA is like where games go to die.
It really is.
I mean, I used to love Dark Age of Camelot, one of my favorite, you know, MMOs. And EA bought them out and killed that game.
But I thought same thing EA for sports Warhammer. Was what was in the game?
It is what's in the game. That's why sports games suck.
Yeah, they dominate that, but they still suck. So,
well, yeah, sports games, they can release new ones every year for always.
Yeah, and then they make.
I would never buy a game like that. So when does the next Dynasty Warriors come out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty much they'll pretty much, keep running a franchise into the ground until they can't get enough sales to do a new release every year.
See also Call of Duty.
Yeah. Ruined Warhammer. They just destroy games.
Maybe they should reimagine Call of Duty a little bit.
As what?
It should be Call of Duty, and it should be about shooting.
About poop. More poop.
What we need is a new Commander Keen game.
There's a phrase I never thought I would hear.
Well, leave it to Fort Max.
Fort Max is Commander Keen.
I do not have a Packers helmet. Sorry.
I bet you have a cheese thing, hat, though.
That's got to be something I can mark off a list. What we really need is a Commander Keen game.
Packers helmet sounds like
play it right after I play Duke Nukem Forever. Oh wait, God, we need a better SimCity game.
Oh yeah, no. What we need is an updated Sim Ant.
What we need is Shadow Warrior 2.
But it's Sim Ant, like your aunt, like a family member. You can either be, like, doting, or you can be, like, anti-mame, you know. No?
So anyway.
So that it for the show?
Yeah, I think so. Are we doing something next week?
Akiba Ranger?
I guess.
Never seen it, so why not?
You didn't watch
Akiba Ranger?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Now I'm getting it confused. God.
Now you thought we were talking about Die Ranger?
Yes, or something. Anyway, it's been a long day.
Yeah.
The cool series with the three people, and yes, the funny with the laughing. Yes, we should do that next week.
And the delusions.
Yes, the delusions. Much like my life.
And the porn star.
Well, that's nothing new.
All right, then.
I don't know why children shouldn't watch it. I didn't see anything that was any different than any other Sentai series.
Right.
Beats me.
Because it's more awesome. We don't want kids to watch things that are awesome.
Right.
Well, they didn't jump into anyone's arms yet, right?
No.
They'll wait for Akiba Ranger, the movie, to do that.
Unofficial.
Yeah.
They're messing with our trips.
Okay. Well, I think that's all for us tonight.
Shutdown complete.
Oh, well.
But hey, at least we mostly stayed away from the poop.
Mostly.
And instead, we talked about meth. Good job. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Follow us on Twitter at Superhero_Time for weekly power playback and updates about the show. Visit tfradio.net or find us on iTunes for previous episodes and to subscribe to the show. Superhero Time is a TF Radio Network production. Copyright 2012.
So the big clit thing. my the guy I used to tabletop with, I told you about him, XB.
You tabletop the guy with a big clit?
Yes, I did. That's exactly what happened. No, I used to play tabletop RPG, like role play, like pen and paper. And Tony,
the guy with the clit.
Yes. Tony was the guy that ran the games, and he always, one of the guys in the group, he always loved to, well, he messed with everybody, but basically this one guy, what he did is, we were playing a real world based game, and he had his girlfriend, well, I mean, to the guy, he didn't see anything wrong with her, because, you know, a lot of girls have a 7-inch clitoris, and, so, like, basically, his girlfriend was a tranny, and all of us knew it, but him. So it was pretty
fantastic.
Fun. Yeah.
Super Hero Time. 次回もお楽しみに。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.